has grace and his mercy and his salvation be yours tonight through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. We are concluding tonight our sermon series on the seven churches of Revelation. So far we've looked at Jesus' messages to the churches at Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia. And tonight we're going to look at Jesus' message to the church at Laodicea. Now, Laodicea, just so you understand, is about 40 miles southeast of our last church, Philadelphia. It was located on a major river, Lycus River Valley. And this city was known throughout the ancient world for its wealth. It was a banking center. In fact, this city was destroyed in 60 AD by an earthquake, and Rome offered disaster relief, and this city turned down. According to Tacitus, the Roman historian, they said, nah, we'll handle it with our own wealth. Thank you. So as was this town in wealth, so also was the church. And Jesus is going to give a message to the church at Laodicea tonight. So what I'd like to do with you is read it and understand it and then apply it a bit to ourselves. Let's read again that letter, the last of the messages of Revelation to the seven churches. Jesus says, unto the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of him who is of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. If you say, I'm rich, I've prospered, and I need nothing, not knowing that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may be rich, and white garments to clothe you, and salve to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and chasten. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. He who conquers, I'll grant him to sit with me on my throne as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. All right, so there's the letter. What is Jesus saying here? Let's go through it piece by piece. First off, the last line again, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Is he just talking to only Laodicea here? It's a message to that church, but it's for all the churches to hear and understand. That's for us as well. And he starts off the letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. That, I believe, is to the pastor. He's to deliver the message to the church. The words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Why does Jesus begin that way? The words of the Amen. You know what? If you turn back to Isaiah chapter 65, you read God saying this, he who blesses himself in the land shall bless himself by the God of truth, and he who takes an oath in the land shall swear by the God of truth. You know, if I looked it up in Hebrew, that's the God of Amen. The God of Amen. It's translated as God of truth, but he's the God of Amen. So in other words, Jesus is saying here at the beginning of this letter, this is the Amen. This is the God of Israel who's addressing this message. He's the faithful and the true witness. He's the beginning, that is, the source of God's creation. In other words, this message is coming to you tonight straight from God with his authority, from God's own Son. So listen up. And then he gets into the letter. He says, I know your works, as he says to all the churches. And that's really cool. Jesus knows his people. But in this case, he says, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. How'd you like that for a message from our Lord Jesus? Wow, if that were to our church. You know, that is a very hard word, isn't it? And Jesus is picking up on something that this church knew well. This church of Laodicea had two towns very near. One was called Hierapolis, which is just a few miles away, like 6 miles, and it was known for its super hot water springs. The water came out of there at 95 degrees Fahrenheit. And they would pipe this water over to Laodicea. But by the time it got there, it was lukewarm. It also had another really neat town nearby, Colossae. And they had nice cold water there. By the time it piped it over to Laodicea, what was it? It was lukewarm. What is lukewarm water like? You go to the restaurant, okay? And what does the waitress keep doing if you order an iced tea? Keeps coming over and giving you more ice, because if you leave it without ice, it's going to become lukewarm and you'll spew it out of your mouth. What happens if you get hot coffee? At a good restaurant, okay? All right. You have a hot cup of coffee. The waitress keeps coming up. Can I refresh your coffee for you? Put in a little more hot to keep it nice, piping hot so you can drink it. If you let it sit there, what's going to happen? Lukewarm. And that's what's happened with this church. They had become lukewarm just like their water. Now, remember, Laodicea is a super wealthy place. They got luxuries. They got awesome stuff there. Luxurious living for the church and for the town. But one thing that town couldn't stand was the water, probably. It was lukewarm. They wanted to spew it out. And Jesus' message to this church is, as you feel about your water, so I feel about you. You're lukewarm. I want to spew you out of my mouth. You're sick. And so he's calling them back from this. He would rather they be, would that you were cold or hot. He'd rather, in other words, that they be on fire for him, or if not, at least that they be angrily against him. He can work with a passionate heart for or against him. He can't work with lukewarm hearts that just don't even care about him. And if I'm evangelizing somebody, I'd much rather they be totally against Christ than that they be like, Christ, who cares? It's hard to reach somebody like that, and that's what's happening with this church. They weren't cold or hot. So there's actually three different types of states we can be in our hearts toward God. What is the temperature of your faith tonight? We have Luke 24, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember, they talked with Jesus on the road. He opened to them the scriptures, and after he left, they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened to us the scriptures on the road? That's what he wants. Our hearts burning in love for him. There's another temperature in the Bible. Matthew 24, Jesus says of the end times, because wickedness is increased, most men's love will grow cold. So there's two, but then there's this one, which is the worst of all in the scriptures, lukewarm. So how do they get this way? Well, he says in the next verse, he says, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not knowing you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. So what was the situation there? Lots and lots of money, lots and lots of prosperity. They had beautiful garments to clothe themselves. They said, we don't need anything or anyone. Forgetting when Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You don't even need me anymore. You got such a great church, you don't even need Jesus there. Think about that. You know churches like that? That might have a lot of money and everything's looking beautiful and spick and span and wonderful programs and nice signs and everything looks good on the books. That's all right. You can have a good sign. All right. We get a nice sign. But if Jesus is not there and he's shut out of the church while they're having services, you got a problem, Houston, right? They were self-satisfied, a church that were doing well, looking at the books, surplus, money, everything's well, but Jesus saying, no, it's not well. So what was it that was wrecking their faith? One of the things, the dangers, super prosperity, right? Now, prosperity is a gift of God. If you have it, you can rejoice in that, but guess what? It can be very dangerous. We read in Proverbs 30, two things I ask of thee, Lord, do not deny them to be before I die. Remove from me far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. feed me with the food that's needful for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who's the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Think about that. You got some troubles tonight? Anybody have troubles? You come here tonight with struggles, maybe having trouble putting money together, or maybe there's a family trouble or something else. You might want to start praising God for that tonight. Maybe that's the thing that he's using to keep you in the faith and to keep you burning hot and strong. Because when everything is perfect, might be heading toward a lukewarm faith if you're not careful. Think of Smyrna. They had extreme poverty, which we read. I know your extreme poverty, but you are rich, he said to that second church. To Laodicea, he says, I know your extreme riches, but you are poor. So, what's the remedy? What's the antidote to this church Jesus gives? He says, therefore I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may be rich. Remember that word from 2 Corinthians 8? We read, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. He became so poor on the cross that he might give you the riches of heaven and his kingdom. So he's saying, receive the riches again, which you need of eternal life, of treasures in the heavens. Seek things that are above. Lay up for yourselves treasures in the heavenlies, where neither rust nor moth will consume. He also says there, and buy from me white garments to clothe you and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen. Jesus is picking up not only on the gold of this city, but one of the major industries there was black wool. They'd export that all over. And here it's a stark contrast. I'm going to give you a white garment made of white wool. Put on my righteousness, imputed or credited over to you. Would you do that tonight? Repent and turn to Christ, or at least receive that salvation again. Christ's righteousness clothing you and then putting on righteous deeds. If you remember the story of the emperor, right? Emperor's what? Rich clothes or whatever it is. And two swindlers came to town and they said, oh, king, you're so rich. You're so wonderful. You need a very special garment. And we'll make it for you, but only a wise man can see it. A fool will see nothing. And so they made this beautiful garment for him, which was nothing. It was just air. And they said, you look just lovely, right? And he says, I do, don't I? Because only a fool wouldn't see this. He goes around and everybody thinks he's looking great, but until a little boy sees him in the parade, says, the king's naked. Well, that's what happened with this church. They thought they were clothed, and they were naked. And Jesus says, put on garments of salvation. Come to me. I'll give them to you for free. And so their problem was their blindness as well. And so Jesus' next thing he says is, I'll give you salve to anoint your eyes. That was another thing that the city had. They had special salve manufactured there in one of the temples. And it was for eye troubles in the Middle East. They'd sell it to them. Jesus says, your town does this, but what you really need is me to open your eyes to that you might behold wondrous things out of my law. Would you ask God for that tonight? That he would not only give you gold, but the white garments of heaven, but also to open your eyes to behold the riches of his word? Has this kind of started to become a little dull to you? What you need is an infusion of energy from our Lord to open your eyes that you may see and walk in the truth. And then he says this wonderful word, because he's just beating them up to smithereens, right? Your church is total. I'm not there. And he says, those whom I love, I reprove and chasten. So be zealous and repent. Has Jesus chastised you at some point? That's a good thing. That means you're his children. If he didn't do that, you wouldn't be his child, according to Hebrews. And God is saying here, I love you. My love for you is not lukewarm. My love for you is burning hot. That's why I can't stand it when you don't really love me. So just turn, receive these things from me, and we'll be good. We'll be blessed. And then he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him. And I'll sit down and I'll eat with him and he'll eat with me. That's what God wants to do with you tonight. That's what he wants to do with us up here in the Lord's Supper in a few minutes. He wants you to say, I will open the door. I will have him come into my life. We'll sit down at table and have harmony and loving friendship, fellowship dinner together. Remember the last church, Jesus, Philadelphia? Jesus said, I set before you an open door. Laodicea had a closed door, but Jesus didn't close it. They closed it. Jesus says, if you will but open the door, I will come into you. I'm itching to love you and to come into your life and bless you in all these ways. Open the door. And if you will sit down and dine with me and I dine with you and we have that harmony, the promise is that in the end, you're going to sit down with me, not just at this table. You're going to sit down with me on my Father's throne. As I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne, you're going to sit on my throne. And which throne is it Jesus is sitting on? The Father's throne. And so you get to sit with him on his throne. That's the Father's throne. You get to sit with God on his throne, having conquered, and you will reign with him forever and ever. So he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There's the explanation of the letter. And now, let's just do a short couple of minutes on applying it to ourselves. How can we apply it? Do you know churches that are like Laodicea, that are rich, that are prospered? We get a magnificent building. You go in and it's like a bright sanctuary. They got oodles of money. They can do whatever ministry they want. They're looking really good. It's clean. It's orderly. They got a bookstore. They got a coffee shop. And those are all fine things. What?
Barnes and Noble,
yeah. These are all wonderful things if Jesus is there. But trouble is, there are churches, a lot, in our culture today that have wealth. They look good. The pastor's driving a fancy car. No comment on my car, okay? everything's clean. It just looks like a wonderful business they're running. But that's not what Jesus has for a church. We're not a CEO. We're not a business. We're a family. We're his people. And he's saying, I'm outside that church. Let me in. Open the door. Now, I want to ask, could that happen to us? And could that happen to you personally in your life, that you grow lukewarm? Second law of thermodynamics is, in a closed system, that it will get to the point where it is, unless you infuse some new energy, it will eventually become static. In other words, if you have hot coffee and you do nothing to it, what's going to happen? Lukewarm. If you get a cold iced tea when you do nothing to it, what's going to happen? Lukewarm. If you get a Christian and you do nothing to it, what's going to happen? Lukewarm. And so God wants us to infuse new energy into it by seeking the treasures, the gold from him above. He wants us to ask for salve, to open our eyes that we may see his word and the wonderful riches there. He wants us to put on Christ's righteousness and good deeds. He also wants us to meet together as we are tonight, to stir each other to love and good works. You're here tonight to me to put some hot back into your cup of faith. And what is your measure right now? On 1 to 10, you tell yourself, well, how hot am I to God? You know the good news? Jesus wants to heat you up in a wonderful, loving way. He will do it. Just open the door to him. He says, I'll come in and sit down with you tonight, and I'll do that very thing in just a few minutes. Tonight's Monday, Thursday. We remember the Last Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave that to us so that we would not be lukewarm, but that we'd be burning with love for him. And he says, open the door of your heart to me tonight if you are in any sense cooled off. And I will come into you right here through the body and blood that I give you in the Lord's Supper. I will heat you up. I will warm the cockles of your heart. And I will make you mine. And as you are infused with my love, you will conquer in this life, and I will grant you, and I promise you, in the coming days, which are very soon, by the way, I'm going to grant you to sit with me, not just here at this table, but on my throne with my Father forever and ever, because I love you. So those whom I love, I reprove and chastise, so be zealous and repent. Let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In Jesus' name, amen.